Being prepared is all about having the right tools. The OnX off-road map and navigation app is the best fully functional GPS when you're out of service. Offline maps allow you to access all interactive land and trail data and custom map markups when you're out of service. Your phone's internal GPS gives you full navigation capabilities offline, so you'll always know where you are and how to get home safely. Go to onxmaps.com and use code MeatEater to get 20% off your membership today. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. Many of you know Axis deer is considered to be the best tasting venison on the planet. I've been hearing that for years. And that those deer cause some ecological harm. Well, Maui Nui Venison is bringing those Axis deer to the market. So you can get some fresh cuts and sticks shipped to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Steve, Yanni, Brody, Randall, Reva, Marge, and Seth. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at player performance in the hunting category. In the history of all Meat Eater hunting questions, the player average is 47%. Now, I think we have our top five performers for the hunting category are in this room.
Best
right
four
now.
Hunters in the world.
Are you running out of things? Because I feel like you did this before.
Well, we've done it, but like in a year, stats change, right? We're looking at it again.
I want to hear a couple stats about old Reeve over there. You ever played before?
I've played twice.
Did you win?
No.
Reva, who do you think is the best in the hunting category in this room? These are our five best players. Which one of them is the best, though, at the top of the leaderboard?
I'm going to guess Brody.
At the top of the leaderboard is Brody, who gets 73% of hunting questions correct. That's followed by Randall with 64%, Yanni with 61%, Steve with 57%, Seth with 55%, Mark with 53%, Cal with 51%, and Clay with 50%. Brody besting Randall by 9% is the biggest gap between the first and second best performers in any vertical.
Where I shine in the hunting category is out in the field.
Okay. There you go. I can't give you a stat on that, Seth, but we'll trust you.
Success just rate. Trust high success rate. Mm-hmm.
But in trivia, between first and second, Brody and Randall have the biggest.
I have a hard time with all that because.
Oh, you think the stats?
I feel like when I come down here, I win.
Okay.
So it's like how, when you give these stats, I feel like it'd always be that I'm like the highest of all of them.
Yeah. Well, in this case, I think you're fifth highest. So. Now here's our infrequently.
Here and kick everybody's ass.
Here's our infrequently.
We had a guy as a guest one time comes down here and he thought I'd never lost. Brad.
That just means he doesn't
lose. Does anyone ever beat Steve? Yeah. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. You should put that in like a highlight reel.
Yeah, okay. It's before the mics.
That just
on.
Shows that he doesn't maybe feel listen to trivia much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you listen to like two time, episodes we'll before he's on. And
Steve, if you've seen the plaque.
To hear Brody is 25% better than me, it's like it's just not borne out by reality.
In one category.
One category.
One category.
Did you see the plaque has been updated? You are now officially the champion for 2023.
Yeah, the whole year. Uh-huh. That's a stat.
You are the whole, you're the champion.
Make
for
a stat
whole,
about that.
You got lucky in one game.
Year.
Don't think that was the
Brody's
case.
Not like, it's like, I don't care. I don't know. I don't trust who's running these stuff.
Oh, I love it.
Now, here's our infrequently asked questions segment. If you have a trivia-related question for our crew, send it to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line IFAQ. Ryan Blaine wants to know, what are the top five states that have been represented as answers to trivia questions? Justin Skinner has a similar question. He says, I'd like to know how many times Tennessee is mentioned during trivia. It may just be because I live here, but it seems like it's mentioned more than others. I went to the board game, and I pulled out the 10 states that are referenced most. Broke them down into two tiers. One tier one gets mentioned significantly more than tier two, and tier two gets mentioned significantly more than the other 40 states. So do you guys have any guesses about the top 10 states?
Louisiana's in it, and Tennessee's in it.
I'm going to trust that listener and say Tennessee.
Tennessee is not one of them. Louisiana is not one of them. Pennsylvania is not one of them. You guys have yet to hit on Michigan is in tier two. They've been mentioned more than 9 times.
California
is tier one.
Missouri.
Florida.
Missouri, Colorado. Tier two. Florida, tier one. What other guesses you got?
The tiers are just
New Mexico.
A lot.
Tier
one
would be
much.
14 times or more mentioned in the board game. Tier two is 9 times. Or
Reba said Colorado. I think that's probably.
That is not one of them.
Rhode Island.
No, Rhode Island. I don't know if Rhode Island has ever been mentioned in this game.
Hawaii.
Hawaii, no. You're missing a couple obvious ones.
Alaska?
Alaska. There we go. Alaska.
I said that. At least 15 seconds ago.
Alaska is, I think it's the most mentioned. Alaska, Texas, Florida, California, and Minnesota. That would be your tier one. Tier two is New York, Michigan, Alabama, Wisconsin, Missouri. So those are your 10 states that have been mentioned the most in the history of Meat Eater Trivia. Now, for today's housekeeping portion, we have a special announcement about this episode and a few upcoming episodes. Today's show is brought to you by Athletic Brewing.
Hell yeah.
And when Athletic Brewing came to us about sponsoring trivia, they said they also wanted to support our conservation efforts. And we have some ASMR from Steve.
That's me having a big old sip right there, buddy.
That segment was brought to you by Steve Ranella, not Athletic Brewing, slurping the beer. Well, for today's game, Athletic Brewing is going to match our $500 conservation organization donation. That means the winner will get to make a $1,000 donation instead of a $500 donation. Also, Athletic Brewing is going to sponsor a Moneyball question this week. There will be one Moneyball question this round, and for every player who gets the right answer, Athletic Brewing is going to make another $100 donation to conservation. Thanks to Athletic Brewing, today's episode will have one of our biggest donations ever.
Can I chime in? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, let me set the table. You know how sometimes you hear about a band who's like, before they blow up, someone's like, oh, this band's really good and they're really cool. I feel like Steve has been on the Athletic Brewing bandwagon. Well, or you with Athletic Brewing. You were the first person that I've ever saw drink an Athletic beer.
Listen. Because I quit drinking. I don't drink now. I don't drink at all anymore. I haven't been drunk for 7 years.
Okay.
No.
I was going to dispute that, but I'll let you dispute it yourself.
No, it's been a bunch of years since I got drunk. I'll tell you where I was sitting
from
who I was
sitting
with.
Seven to a bunch.
Last time I got drunk, I was with probably Yanni. I was with Kent and Carruth. I drank 6-7 vodka sodas. Was hungover for 48 hours.
Okay.
Because I had already mostly quit drinking.
This was in Vegas?
Yeah. Now, I don't drink at all. Not a lick ever.
Yep.
Okay? Ever. And I get fidgety at night now. It's hard to relax. There's no end to the day. Okay? The day does, without alcohol, your day never ends.
Okay.
So, listen to me. Hear me out.
I'm excited to see this plane land.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I realize it's this. It's like your body, it's not that your body's reacting. This is in my thing. It's not that my body's reacting necessarily to alcohol. It's just the
ritual,
the ritual of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I started drinking, like I like the Athletic beer, the Athletic NA, because it's just like, it's like no different.
Mm-hmm.
I could go to any big time beer drinker and if they were drinking that, they would not know. They would not be like, that's an NA. They wouldn't know. I'm telling you, dude.
And now you can sleep at night.
And so they make a chelada. Because I have to keep, like traditionally, I have to keep a bottle of Bloody Mary mix because I like it to have a little burn. Because I used to like cocktails a lot. And I used to like Bloody Marys a lot. Okay. just pour a big stiffy. Loved it. And I miss that now. So I like to take beer and mix it with spicy Bloody Mary mix because, again, it gives you that burn, taste, feeling of having a cocktail, which makes you not think about having a cocktail. And they make it pre-mixed, a chelada.
Yeah. Steve's...
Listen, these are good.
No, that's organic enthusiasm Steve has. I had a Christmas party a few years ago. I said, I've got beer, wine, cocktails, and if that's not good enough, you bring something else. Steve and his wife showed up with a case of Athletic beers, and that was what they drank. And when they left them there, and other people finished them. They were a hit of the party.
Yeah, I didn't even get into the misses.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
She drank some too.
Yeah, there you go. Now, if you want to take Athletic Brewing with you on your next outdoor adventure, then go to athleticbrewing.com and use code MeatEater for 15% off your first order. That's athleticbrewing.com and promo code MeatEater.
Yeah, I'm sucking on the non-alcoholic Light Copper right now. They make an IPA, not an IPA guy.
The Light Copper is their Mexican beer.
Yep. Cerveza Atletico.
What's nice about this, because it's not beer, is that you can order it right from them and they just ship it right to you, which is something that you can't do with real alcohol.
Yeah, and you don't feel guilty about having one at noon on a Tuesday in the office.
I don't feel guilty about doing that with a regular beer. Yeah.
You can.
Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 5, so I'm putting us on perfect game alert. Mm. And with that, we're on to the round of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1, the topic is conservation, and this will be multiple choice. According to a 1993 study, which of these animals is most frequently killed by vehicles in America? Is it raccoons, squirrels, deer, or cats? According to a 1993 study, which of these animals is most frequently killed by vehicles in America? Raccoons, squirrels, deer, or cats? This is question 1. Nobody looks confident.
We had a lot of barn cats when I was a kid. I used to scrape a lot of those things off the road in front of the house.
Okay. And what'd you do with them then?
I can't remember. Probably just threw them in the trash.
Dude, I got some cat stories that curl your hair, man. I'm not with no way to tell you. Seth knows them.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have similar.
A little tease from Steve.
That'll be in a forthcoming audiobook project. Uh-huh.
Raccoons, squirrels, deer.
That book will be called Cat Stories to Curl Your Hair.
Which of those animals is most frequently killed by vehicles in America? Is everybody ready?
No.
See, that's an auspicious year.
Explain?
No.
Okay. Is there something real about auspicious 1993? Okay. Mm-hmm. Year after I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Jurassic Park was released.
Correct.
One dinosaur.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. What I thought.
Maybe the Minnesota Twins won the World Series that year. Is everybody ready?
Oh man.
That was my first year full-time trapping.
Keep talking.
Raccoons, squirrels, deer, or cats. Can you think about what you were seeing on the road dead a lot that year?
I was 2 years old. I can't remember.
Brody, are we ready?
Yeah.
I had just finished off at Reese Puffer.
Maggie, are you ready? Yeah. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying deer, Marge saying raccoons, Reva saying deer, Randall saying cats, Brody saying raccoons, crossed out squirrels, Steve saying coons, Yanni saying cats.
Squirrels is in there?
The correct answer is squirrels.
Damn it!
That was in there?
Nobody got it right.
I got it right.
Good thing that's not the money ball.
Oh, if I'd have heard you say squirrels, I would have wrote that down.
Yeah, raccoons, squirrels, deer, cats. According to that study, there are 41 million.
See, that's what you
million...
get for talking all damn time, man. Like, you don't need to hear the, like, you don't need to hear the question, dude.
According to that study, there are 41 million squirrels killed by vehicles in America each year. Mm. That's followed by 26 million cats, 22 Ooh. Million rats, 19 million possums, 15 million raccoons, 6 million dogs, and 350,000 deer. The study estimated that about 200 million birds are killed by vehicles as well.
Oh, I would have absolutely written down squirrels if I'd caught that.
Mm. I wonder what the hunter harvest of squirrels is.
Can't be 41 million. 41 million.
When I was in high school, I hit a raccoon on my way to take the SATs, and I got out and put it in the back of the truck. And then when I was leaving the test, I saw people looking in the back of my truck at a freshly killed raccoon.
Mm.
Well, I can tell you the most harvested game animal in America is the mourning dove, and I think that comes in at 10 million.
Yeah. Hmm.
So squirrels aren't, maybe squirrels are number two. I can't remember.
Question two, the topic is fishing. Dictionary.com defines this six-letter word as, quote, a very large game fish, especially a bass. Dictionary.com defines this six-letter word as, quote, a very large game fish, especially a bass. Brody is confident. He's now sipping his beer. Rub it into...
Catch a lot of these things.
Okay. Randall and Steve also look confident. The rest of the players have not joined them yet. Coming up with an answer. ASMR from Steve.
Somehow my kids know about that. About ASMR.
I find it more unusual that you know about that. Dictionary.com defines this six-letter word as a very large game fish, especially a bass. Yanni, it took you a minute to come up with an answer. Do you have this one right?
I don't know. I'm kind of confused about the. I'm kind of confused about the question.
You got it.
Okay.
He's got it.
Steve thinks I have it.
Steve and Yanni are confident. How about you, Seth?
No.
It's not hog with four G's.
Brody's got it.
Very large game.
Hyphenated big dog.
Randall, Brody, Steve, and Yanni think they have it.
Yeah, we got it. Well, I don't know if Randall's got it. Let me see what you got.
I got it.
Reva Marge, how we doing?
Dang, why can't I think of this?
Seth must not catch any very large game.
No,
fish.
He never needs to search his mind for like a word for that.
He's a dedicated Bassmasters fan, though.
He can find him out in the field, but not in the studio.
I'm wearing a Bassmaster Classic hat right now.
Are you?
Yeah. From this year.
Is everybody ready?
What were they catching?
I think of him more as a walleye man.
Is everybody ready?
Well, Sims Fishing is into Bassmasters now.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Lake of the Cherokees.
Seth, do you give up?
Ah, man, I do, but
go ahead and reveal your answer. Seth, without an answer. Marge saying Lunker. Oh. Reva saying Trophy. Randall, Brody, Steve, and Yanni saying Lunker. They got it. The correct answer is Lunker. That's L-U-N-K-E-R.
I don't use that one much.
Synonyms for Lunker include Whopper, Whale, Giant, and Monster. Dictionary.com.
Chungus.
Dictionary.com.
Slob.
You boys should talk to Dictionary.com and fill them in with some more synonyms. Now. Dictionary.com made it their word of the day on March 18, 2020. They said it's an Americanism that entered the English language in the early 1900s. The toy company Mattel brought the word to a national audience when they created the Lunker Bass Fishing handheld video game in 1997.
This is a product, Lunker Lotion.
Not for Seth.
Nope.
Question three.
There's a bass fishing YouTube channel, I think it's called Lunker TV or something like that.
I think everything bass related has used the word Lunker at some point, Seth. Question three, the topic is outdoors. Name one of the two musicians who purchased Field & Stream in 2024.
Oh, that's easy.
Seth declared this an easy one. Steve, Randall, Brody, you're confident. Yanni, It's not picked up his
no
whiteboard.
No idea.
Name one of the two musicians who purchased Field and Stream in 2024. If you had to come up with both, Steve, could you do it?
You want me to?
No. No, let's not do that.
Can we do two for extra credit?
Just one. Now, we are using brand new whiteboards today. Our old ones are in the Auction House of Oddities. When you're hearing this, I don't think it'll be too late. There should be a few days left. The whiteboards with a signed board game that was signed by Brody, Steve, Yanni, and me is up to $3,500 in our Auction House of Oddities. So if you want our old ones that are covered in graffiti, head over to our website. Check them out there. We're now using new boards. Steve has been the first one to put any graffiti on them. What do you got there, Steve?
Well, same thing I always write on my board.
Mm-hmm. It says, suck it, Brody.
Yep.
Badge of honor.
If it was Luke Combs, I would have heard about it. But it's got to be the same genre.
Hmm.
Look at these guys.
But you don't think
poker
heavy.
Face.
You don't think. You
poker
don't think,
face.
You don't think Ozzy Osbourne bought it?
Or, no.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe the Nuge bought it. The Nuge. I'm going with the Nuge.
Okay. Marge Riva. You guys know this one. No, okay.
So I remember seeing the article about it. It's gotta be Liberace.
Happened in 2021
Savage.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Morgan Wallen, crossed out Eric Church. Marge saying Dolly Parton. Reva saying Morgan Whalen.
Oh, no.
Randall saying Morgan Wallen. Brody saying Luke Bryan. Steve saying Eric Church. Yanni saying the Nuge. The correct answers are Eric Church or Morgan Wallen. I think we'll give it to you, Reva.
Yes.
Why are you giving it to Reva?
Morgan Whalen.
Morgan Whalen?
Oh, that's close enough.
It was, it was one letter off.
Well, did you think more? Were you thinking Waylon Jennings?
Don't answer me.
Don't
incriminate yourself. The musicians led a team of investors who purchased the Field & Stream media company from Recurrent and the Field & Stream retail brand from Dick's Sporting Goods. Their first major move after the acquisition was announcing that the print magazine would return after a three-year hiatus. Field & Stream now has three membership tiers that range from $15 a year to $95 a year.
Are they tied in with that Field & Stream hotel thing?
Yep.
They are?
No, not the hotel thing, but like some they bought like, see, a long time ago, Field & Stream like dispersed the ability. That's why there's Field & Stream canoes and,
And they Field & Stream
this
bought the
and
retail
Field & Stream
brand
that. And
back.
I think they bucketed back some of the
names. I saw there's, do you see there's one going in?
Yep.
Question four, the topic is conservation. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Keith Santos for sending this great question. Keith is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. An electric barrier meant to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes was placed on a canal outside of this city. The topic is conservation.
Didn't even need you to finish that one.
An electric barrier meant to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes was placed on a canal outside of this city.
Mm-hmm.
Steve knows it. Very confident. Mm-hmm. Now, Brody, you seemed confident on the last question that you got wrong with Luke
No,
Bryan.
I was not.
Oh, he wasn't confident. Okay, you're just writing down the one country singer.
You're not good at reading faces, Spencer.
You were quick. You were quick
That's
to
cause
answer.
That's because it's like one of the... Just, yeah, move on.
A dumb question,
I'm not
Brody
looking
wanted
it up.
To say.
I'm doing something different.
No, no, okay. I don't think it was... I just didn't know it. And I wasn't going to come up with it.
An electric barrier meant to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes was placed on a canal outside of this city.
Steve's texting someone to see if he got his answer right.
No, I'm not. I swear.
Yanni, you know this one.
I don't. Seth. But as someone that's training to run 50 miles, these things help me keep drinking beer, but not putting all those calories in my body.
55-0.
Yeah.
When's your race again?
June 15th. Nice. It's coming.
It's coming.
Dang, Yanni.
That's so the, with you. Isn't that the antelope deadline in Montana?
I don't know.
Or is it June 1?
What? Oh.
I already filled all that out. I'm done.
Is everybody
Good
ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Buffalo. Marge saying Chicago.
Yep.
Reva saying Milwaukee.
Nope.
Randall and Brody and Steve saying Chicago.
Yep, yep, and
Yanni
yep.
saying St. Louis.
Nope.
The correct answer was Chicago.
Dude, I've been there.
You've been to the barrier.
Chicago?
I've been to the barrier. No, I've been to the barrier. I toured the barrier.
Oh. Hmm. Just for funsies, or what were you doing there? Get educated about
Try to remember why I was
invasive
there.
Carp.
What's that?
Just getting educated about invasive carp.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that.
The electric dispersal barriers have been in operation since 2009. This stretch of water is located 25 miles south of Lake Michigan on the Chicago Area Waterway System. The barriers are made of 160-foot-wide grids of electrodes that repel fish from swimming upstream. The area is littered with signage from the U.S. Coast Guard saying it will absolutely not attempt to rescue you if you fall in the water.
That's on a shipping and sanitation canal. So they built that canal, which actually connects. It would connect the Mississippi with the St. Lawrence. So everything in the Great Lakes goes out to St. Lawrence, and then you jump over that divide, and everything goes to the Gulf. And so that they created a real vulnerability with that canal, which joins the two of them up.
How did they do
something else? At one point in time, they were going to build a canal that connected that connected the bottom of Lake Michigan and traveled over to Erie to shorten that trip through the Great Lakes. And that's why when they had that little war over that, Michigan in Ohio almost went to war.
The Toledo
over
Strip.
The Toledo
I feel like
Strip.
They did.
What's that?
I feel like they kind of did. Or it was just
close
a lot of posturing.
To it. They had an arbitrator come in, and the arbitrator gave the Strip to Ohio. And as a reconciliation, gave Michigan the UP. They never
took
built
it away from Wisconsin.
Never built a canal anyway, and then Michigan pulled just billions in copper and ore out of the UP. And they never
Wisconsin
even built their
would,
stupid canal.
How does Wisconsin that barrier account for like fertilized eggs drifting through it or something like that?
Well, I think it's more concerned about stuff getting into Lake Michigan than going from Lake Michigan to the Mississippi River. But they have, I think it was in 2015,
Currents going the other way.
Oh, I gotcha.
They had traces of Asian carp DNA upstream of the barriers. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of in question as to how effective it even is. Mm-hmm. Question five, the topic is cooking. This French term refers to a piece of meat that's been pounded thin, wrapped around ham and cheese, and then fried. This is question five. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. This French term refers to a piece of meat that's been pounded thin, wrapped around ham and cheese, and then fried. Nobody has come up with an answer yet. It's a French term. Refers to a piece of meat that's been pounded thin, wrapped around ham and cheese, and then fried. Seth now coming up with an answer. It's our first one. Seth, do you know it? Or are you
no.
just guessing? Okay. No.
Probably spelled.
We may have another 0%er here. Randall?
I've got a shot.
Okay. Randall has a shot. Do you think it's a French term that you have written down?
It is. Okay. Indeed.
This French term refers to a piece of meat that's been pounded thin, wrapped around ham and cheese, and then fried.
I question my spelling.
Okay. There's maybe a hint in the room.
Man, I wish I'd been looking through those meat eater recipes.
I questioned
lately.
Mine too. Spelled it exactly how it sounds.
Steve is doing French sound effects.
Oh.
He's a Foley artist today. We needed someone to slurp a beer, and he provided that. Needed someone to have French gestures, and he's done that for us. What else is in your library of noises, Steve?
Wee wee.
Damn.
Randall may be the only one.
If I get this, I'm going to yell wee.
Okay. Brody, do you have any guess?
I got a guess.
A guess, okay. A piece of meat that's been pounded thin, wrapped around ham and cheese, and then fried.
I think it's a poor guess. But...
Yanni, you have a chance.
Yeah. Took a while. I knew it was in there.
Oh, you think you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he's a little confident. Is everybody ready?
It's this athletic beer I'm having.
Okay, you give up, Steve?
I wrote something down.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Cordon Bleu. Mark saying Beef Wellington. Reva saying Pate. Randall saying Cordon Bleu.
Yeah, they got it.
Brody saying Roulade.
Roulade.
Steve, what's that say, Steve?
Croque Monsieur.
Yanni saying cordon bleu.
Hold on, it wasn't croque monsieur.
Yanni and Randall and Seth got it. The correct answer is cordon bleu. Cordon bleu was created in Switzerland in the 1940s. Although most associate the dish with chicken, it's also made with veal, pork, and beef. Cordon bleu translates to blue ribbon in French, which is a phrase used to describe culinary excellence.
It's like Pabst cordon bleu.
Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Reva is in last place with 1 point. Then we've got Seth, Maggie, Giannis, and Brody tied up with 2 points. Steve has 3, and Randall Williams is in first place with 4 points.
Oh, anybody's game.
Phil, what have you gotten that last one?
Between me and Randall.
Oh, yeah.
You knew that one.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Anyone, by which I mean me and Randall.
The cafeteria at the Montana State dorms would serve a pretty wet cordon bleu. That was
wet cordon bleu.
What was wet about it?
It was just like, it was almost sitting like a shallow pool of water.
There's a lot of condensation.
Yeah, it was disgusting, but it was a hit among drunk college kids. Yeah.
Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Deals this good are hard to come by, even at the grocery store. It's the ultimate convenience. It's delivered right to your doorstep, meaning less trips to the grocery store because you're prepared. You got a freezer loaded with a bunch of recipe-ready cuts of meat. It makes making dinner at night so much easier. The stuff is well-packaged, easy to thaw. It just encourages good home cooking. You'll have a hard time finding this kind of savings at the grocery store, and you'll get exclusive member deals, recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks, and free shipping. Today, ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/meateater, and then use code meateater to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/meateater. Make sure to use code meateater. Sport Dog is the most recognized brand in the hunting dog training industry. Born in 2003 in Knoxville, Tennessee, Sport Dog was forged by a passionate group of hunters and dog trainers who intimately understood the challenges of the field and the special connection between hunters and their dogs. The Sport Dog promise to consumers is simple. Gear the way you'd design it. Every product Sport Dog builds is meticulously designed and rigorously tested in the field, ensuring it withstands the toughest conditions you and your dog may encounter. Now, I've got 2 good buddies with what I would call really, really good waterfowl dogs. And here's one of those buddies, Max. Not the dog, but the buddy.
I've used that Sport Dog collar now in multiple different states, U.S. and Canada. Different temperatures, all the way to negative 20 degrees, and it just doesn't stop working. I'm a fan for life.
Get 20% off your first purchase using code MEATEATER. So go to www.sportdog.com/meateater to learn more. Man, I'm just coming back not too long ago from youth turkey season in Wisconsin. Now, last year at youth turkey season, it rained and snowed the whole time. This year at youth turkey season, it was in the 70s and even up to 80. So me and my kids are pouring it to it. And after a while, I realized they didn't drink anything all day and they haven't drank anything all day. Well, that's why it's important to get hydrated and have something you're going to like to help you, encourage you to get hydrated. Doesn't matter. Outdoor events, turkey hunting, playing sports, beach days, mountain adventures. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'll say that again. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and you use code MEATEATER at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MEATEATER at liquidiv.com.
Question 6. The topic is public lands. The Statue of Liberty and Devil's Tower are this type of federal land. This is question six. The Statue of Liberty and Devil's Tower are this type of federal land. Brody, Steve, Yanni, Seth coming up with an answer. Marge, do you have a shot at this one? Have you been to the Statue of Liberty or Devil's Tower?
I've been to Devil's Tower.
Okay.
Not the Statue of Liberty.
You can't recall what the signage around it was. How about you, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Both of them.
What do you mean?
You've been to the Statue of Liberty and Devil's Tower?
Yeah.
Okay. You know this one?
No. Got a feeling.
Okay.
Did you know that during some of the interglacial periods, ocean levels were so high that the pedestal, that the Statue of Liberty would be standing in water?
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Who designed the Statue of Liberty?
French.
Cordon Bleu. Does everybody have an answer for the type of federal
land? They
sent
it over to us.
Yeah. The only thing we built was the base.
Oh. That would have been underwater during some of the interglacial periods.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying National Monument. Marge and Reva saying National Monument. Randall saying National Historic Park.
This is where me and Randall get caught up.
Brody saying National Monument. Steve saying Federal Monument. Same. Yanni saying National Monument. The correct answer is National Monument. What do we think of Federal Monument?
Come on. Federal
it's
is
not what
national.
It's I mean, if it was Reva, I'd give it to her.
Dude,
for
if
you,
don't give it to me,
I think that's like saying
that.
Federal Park Service.
No, listen.
Yeah. Yellowstone Federal Park.
National and federal are the same thing, dude. Come on. No. I'm not playing anymore if you don't get
it. Despite your threat, I don't think we're going to give it to you.
Are you kidding me?
No. Look up the definition.
I will go. Steve, make
a federal,
your defense.
It's a federal monument. It's a federal monument. Oh, my God. Come on.
But it's also like a proper noun, so I don't think.
I almost think just wrote monument.
I don't know if that would have been good enough either.
Ooh, I almost did too, but I didn't.
Dude, this is some...
Brody went thumbs down immediately on your answer.
she gets a point writing down Waylon, who is like the most famous country artist of all time.
That could not be an accent.
It was a misspelling of Waylon, or Waylon, or whatever the guy's name is.
I've always heard it Waylon.
It's also her singular point
I said,
this game.
Do you know the Statue of Liberty is a federal monument? No one is going to correct me.
But what if you said a federal park?
Again, I didn't
it's
say
not,
that. It's
no,
a monument.
But it's if we're replacing words here. Phil, what do you think back there?
Oh, definitely not.
Oh, wow.
Dude, that is such horse shit, man.
Randall, how do you feel about it?
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I don't think.
I think it's a conflict of interest.
I don't think this is unreasonable at all.
Federal and national? It's like,
what's the definition?
Well, it's not a definition.
Of
it's,
what?
It's a category. I mean, it's a specific designation.
I think it'd be like instead of the U.S. Forest Service, if you said the American Forest Service.
It's not the same.
It's not the
Dude,
same.
If I wrote monument, you would have given it to me.
We're looking for a proper noun here.
Okay, I just typed in federal monument. National monuments are areas of federal land set aside by the Congress, blah, 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 blah.
I don't think that helped your argument
at all. Yeah, I think it
all.
Just kind of, it's national.
You if find it, me someone calling it a federal
such
statue
if
of
Google,
liberty, federal monument.
Can I run
into yeah, we're getting we're
Somebody
getting
get
nothing.
Steve another NA beer.
The athletic bruise is running through Marge.
We're getting, I don't think we're going to give it to you.
Listen, this is...
Today is never going to end.
You would give this to anybody else.
I don't think that's true either.
That's what I just said.
Let me read the factoid here. Other famous national monuments include the Booker T. Washington National Monument, Little Bighorn Battlefield National Monument, and Dinosaur National Monument. Most national monuments are ran by the National Park Service, but a handful are managed by BLM, the U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and NOAA. Steve, how would you feel if that was Randall's answer?
I'd give it to him. Federal, national. Really? I would have given it to someone who just wrote monument.
Wow. I don't think you get the point. No, nobody else is siding with you.
Well, guess why?
Tell me why.
Everybody hates a winner. They do.
Uh-huh. Question seven. The topic is fishing. This is the Athletic Brewing Moneyball question of the week. For every correct answer provided, Athletic Brewing is going to make a $100 donation that's capped at $500. This week, Athletic Brewing is giving to the conservation group, the Nature Conservancy. Here is your Moneyball question. This lake on the California-Arizona border, which is best known for its spring break parties, has produced multiple world record red ear sunfish. Randall and Brody know it. Here's the question again. The topic is fishing. This lake on the California-Arizona border, which is best known for its spring break parties, has produced multiple world record red ear sunfish. This is the Athletic Brewing Moneyball question. So for everyone who gets the right answer, Athletic Brewing is making a $100 donation to the Nature Conservancy.
Did you ever party there, Randall?
No, but I used to guide a group of guys from California every year that
partiers
that partied. Yeah, and there are a lot of stories about waking up under boat trailers and stuff at this place. I almost said it.
I spent a week there when I was maybe 12 or 13 and jumped off a lot of cliffs. That was fun. Caught quite a few lunkers.
Oh.
Off soft plastics and all
that.
Huh?
Bass or
yeah.
What?
The guy sent me a video one time of a bobcat on
I'll
that lake
Steve
jumping out.
Story and then I'll finish mine.
Oh, I thought you were done with your story. Go ahead.
No,
sorry.
No. Please.
I'm a little fired up. I'll just screw
tell me about this
point.
Catfish.
No, I'm done.
Oh. No, I was just going to say that my uncle, who's unfortunately no longer with us anymore, but he was real impressed that I had done it on a soft plastic, that I had the touch to do it, you know, with a soft plastic. Then later, he caught one that was so big as he was coming. It was coming. It was at the side of the boat. And I was like, I'll grab it for you. And he's like, no, you won't. Don't touch that fish. And he reached down and grabbed it. He did not want to let it go.
Okay.
Get it knocked off.
Did you witness any partying at this lake? Did it have that reputation then?
You know, I think we were young enough that I'm sure it was going on, but we weren't really noticing it yet.
Again, this is our Athletic Brewing Moneyball question. On the side of their cans, they even have a little thing. It says, giving back up to $2 million annually to restore local trails. So they walk the walk. Is everybody ready?
No, hold on one sec.
Waiting on Seth, trying to figure out where these Lunker World Record Red Ear Sunfish come from.
And a few lunker,
largemouth bass. Seth.
It's from nature.
Randall was trying to remind you that this is for conservation, Seth. So really, really try hard here. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Lake Mead, can't crossed out Lake Powell. Marge saying Havasu. Reva saying Tahoe. Randall saying Havasu, Brody, Steve, and Yanni saying Havasu. They got it. The correct answer is Lake Havasu. Five of you got that right. That means Athletic Brewing is making a $500 donation to the Nature Conservancy.
Thanks, so that donation sits outside
that's
of the winner's donation.
That's already happened. We've just now created that $500 donation. The world record red ear sunfish.
I feel like I can't believe tons of companies don't. Throw down like this.
Yeah, what an easy win for them.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The world record red ear sunfish was caught at Lake Havasu in 2021 at 6.3 pounds. It easily broke the old world record of 5.8 pounds, which was also caught at Lake Havasu in 2014. The lake turned into a factory for giant red ear sunfish after the invasive quagga mussels were discovered there in 2007. Mm. Red ear sunfish are sometimes referred to as shell crackers because of their preferred diet of snails, crayfish, and mussels. Thanks again to Athletic Brewing for the Moneyball question of the week.
Anybody in here caught a red eared sunfish?
I don't think so.
Never have.
Like?
I mean, I think a part of the reason.
Pretty much like a bluegill?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like any other sunfish. I think they're only native from like Texas to Louisiana, Alabama, but they're thriving in Havasu thanks to another invasive, the quagga mussel.
I think part of the reason you screwed me on that point is to try to create like a little tension where
which
I'm
you've
not
done.
Just why that I'm just not walking away with it.
Okay. Yeah, we will get
me?
A scoreboard
I would think
update.
The tension would have been if you'd given that and
yeah,
and
then
tied
it'd be
me.
An even tighter game. We'll get a scoreboard update after this next question. This is question 8. The topic is hunting. This annual event that's held across the country calls itself, quote, the greatest 3D archery experience that exists. This annual event that's held across the country calls itself the greatest 3D archery experience that exists. This is question 8. Get a leaderboard update from Phil after this. Has anyone in here been to this thing before that calls itself the greatest 3D archery experience? Just Yanni?
Yeah, someone decided that we should shoot the absolute longest course.
Okay.
And I vowed to never do that again.
Okay, but would you go back to this?
Oh, 100%.
Again? Just not the, just I would not just the shoot, longest like, course.
Short to medium range.
Is everybody ready? Waiting on Reva and Marge. The greatest 3D archery experience that exists. Give up, Reva?
I don't know if you got it right, but it's a good answer.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Total Archery Challenge. Marge saying American Ninja Warrior. Reva without an answer. We have Randall saying Total Archery Challenge. Brody saying Total Archery Challenge. Steve saying, is that Total Archery Club?
Tag. Don't you even give me that.
What did you say?
No. Total Archery Challenge and also TAC. TAC.
Does that look like challenge to you, Yanni?
Yes.
He's got a CH there.
I can't.
Total Archery Challenge.
He put TAC, too.
Yanni saying Total Archery Challenge.
You should work on your pensmanship, though.
I'm trying to write tight because you guys are so close to me.
It's Brody's fault, actually. The correct answer is Total Archery Challenge. The Total Archery Challenge was founded in 2013. This year, they have a dozen events held from Vermont to Texas to Utah. They're known for their extreme courses in steep country that weave through timber and occasionally exceed 100 yards. Phil, give us a scoreboard update. We have 2 questions left.
Yes, Reva is the only player that's not in contention for the victory. But we've got Maggie and Seth with 4 points. Giannis, Steve, and Brody with 5, and still in first place is Randall. He has 6 points.
2 questions.
That's what I was
left.
Saying about creating tension because like we'd be tied.
Right, but you were saying that he took your point away to create tension.
No, because people would just tune, they'd turn it
you
off.
Want, you think, like,
oh, he's just going to win again.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I see.
You know, who wants to hear him win again?
Yeah.
I know the feeling.
Now you got to think
so. Question 9, the topic is cooking. This is America's 4th most popular cooking appliance, with household ownership rising from 11% in 2017 to 60% in 2023. That means in 2017, 11% of American households owned one of these, and in 2023, 60% of American households owned one of these. Here's the question again. This is America's 4th most popular cooking appliance, with household ownership rising from 11% in 2017 to 60% in 2023.
What? Hell of a jump.
It's squeaking.
Seth, you know this.
Brody, you just came up with something, huh?
I think I do know this.
Okay.
I could be wrong,
first
though.
Thing that came to my head.
Randall, Brody, and Seth have answers. Yanni hasn't picked
up
his
is
whiteboard.
Is this a brand name?
If you thought the answer was Kleenex, you would write it down tissue.
Okay.
Not Kleenex.
Sure.
This is America's 4th most popular cooking appliance, with household ownership rising from 11% in 2017 to 60% in 2023.
What if I only know the brand name? That's not going
to
work.
I don't think we're going to give it to you.
A lot of different brands.
This
make
is
them.
Question 9.
Probably.
That's a hint, Seth.
Whatever it is.
Seth, do you think you own one of these if this is if you have the correct answer?
If I have the correct answer, yeah, I do.
Okay. How about you, Randall?
If I have the correct answer, I do not.
Okay.
And I got it in the time that would make sense.
Mm. Nope.
This kind of talking leads to people getting answers.
We're getting a lot of
gotten. Okay. Is everybody ready?
I'm finishing writing.
I can tell you, you're going to be fighting in a minute.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying air fryer.
Marge
saying KitchenAid mixer, tabletop mixer. Reva saying air fryer. Randall saying air fryer. Brody saying air fryer. Steve saying slow cooker / pressure cooker in parentheses Instapot. Yanni saying Instapot pressure cooker. The correct answer is air fryer.
That's why I asked about brand name, because I could only think of Instapot.
60% of households?
60%. According to data from Circana, air fryer ownership has now passed up grills and multi-cookers. Multi-cookers would be an Instapot. The president of Nestle called air fryers the biggest trend in modern cooking, saying the demand for air fryer directions on their products became overwhelming during the pandemic. We have a singular recipe for air fryers on themeateater.com, which is Lucas Leaf's Pheasant Kiev.
Do you like your set?
What is it?
For some things.
It's a super hot-ass convection oven, I think.
I like it for making, like, French fries that aren't fried.
Yeah, right? I think the name is misleading, right? It's, you're not, like, you're not even coming close to replicating deep frying.
No, it's like it's a mini oven is what it is.
Like, you're not going to bread some walleye fillets and throw that
you
stuff
could.
In
you
there.
You could, yeah.
Yeah.
Who owns one in here? Just Seth? So we are bringing the ownership way down.
Well, I'll tell you that the reason we have one is because we watched our friend's dog for like a week, and that's what they got us.
I'm confused about how that...
As a gift.
Oh, they got
They're
it,
like,
okay.
Thanks for watching our dog. Yeah, air fryer.
My daughter just made a little jingle watching a dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did she get a small appliance in return?
Cash. Cold hard cash.
I don't know that I would buy one, but we do use it. At least once a week, probably.
Phil, who is
left I told her
game.
All about Gil.
Oh, yeah. She came to me about it. It's so funny you brought that up. She was pissed the minute I came in the door.
Phil, who is left in the game? We are on to the 10th question.
Well, Spencer, our master plan worked because Steve can no longer win.
Okay.
But we've got Brody with 6 points and Randall with 7.
Question 10. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question is via Mitch Stauner. What's the name for a pointed mineral formation that hangs from a cave ceiling? What's the name for the pointed mineral formation that hangs from a cave ceiling? This is question 10. As a reminder, the winner will get to make a $1,000 donation via Meat Eater and Athletic Brewing.
Nothing I can do at this point, huh? We're not going to revisit that earlier question.
No, I think we should give Steve that point.
The National Monument?
Yeah.
Wait, then you'd lose by 2 points, I think. Yeah. instead of one. So.
No, because if you gave me that now,
you'd be tied up with
Brody.
One
behind. He'd be tied with Brody for second.
And what if he gets it wrong?
Yeah, that's a good. Let's do it.
Oh, wow.
Let's give Steve the point.
Excellent.
Randall, is there a chance you regret this in about 5 minutes?
No, because if I get it wrong, Brody would win.
Well, no. How do you know you guys don't have the same answer?
Yeah, let's revisit it and give me that point.
Let's do it.
Okay, Randall, Brody, how do you feel about this situation?
Oh, I don't care. I think the only reason Randall's doing this is because he knows damn well he's got it right.
Do you have it right, Randall?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, there's two to choose from, buddy.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Do you remember like
you
the,
remember
there
the
was
old
like a
lesson?
Yeah, that's what I'm
that tells
I,
you.
I think I recall that. You know, I'm from just north of big time cave country. Kentucky. Mammoth Cave. We did a lot of spelunking as children.
No, you didn't.
Sure we did.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it.
We did some Boy Scout trips to the caves, yeah.
All right. We'll see if you got it right. We're looking for the name of the pointed mineral formation that hangs from a cave ceiling. Randall has now granted Steve the point, so we would need Randall to get this wrong and Brody or Steve to get this right to go to overtime.
Did you choose the wrong one?
Is Mammoth Caves a federal site or a national
It's a federal park. Mammoth Cave, federal park.
This is a very politician move of me, but it was the wrong answer. But you should get the point.
Okay.
Just to make things interesting.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth staying stalactite. Marge staying stalactite.
We got 100%er.
Reva saying stalactite. Randall saying stalactite. Everyone said stalactite.
Wow.
The correct answer is Stalactite. Did anybody have a C or did everybody have a G?
You don't enforce spelling.
Well, no, but it, then you might be answering stalagmite instead of stalactite.
Yeah. So what's that do now that I got that point?
No, it's either might or
Did you get it right?
What's your answer?
Yeah, I got it right.
Everybody spelled it the same way.
With a G?
Everybody spelled it with a G.
Spencer, we're all winners now because we all learned something.
Okay. The correct answer was stalactite. S-T-A-L-A-C-T-I-T-E. Right, but there's only one letter difference here.
Yeah, but it's the T and the M.
I think the T and the M matter more than the G and the C.
Everybody got it right. Everybody got this one right. The easiest way to recall the difference between a stalactite and stalagmite is by what? Since you said you remembered it.
Well, Randall. A stalactite holds tight to the ceiling, and a stalagmite stands up mightily from the ground or something like that.
I think
that.
That's the wrong way. The way I would remember it.
That's the wrong
the
way.
The difference between a stalactite.
It, how could it be the wrong way if it... The difference, the, right answer.
The difference between a stalactite and stalagmite is by remembering that stalactite has a C for ceiling and stalagmite has a G for ground.
So there you go.
Well,
you know that rhyme about
milk snakes and coral snakes?
Yes.
Red touches yellow, kill a fella.
Red touches black, you're okay, Jack. Mm. Red touches yellow, you're a dead fella.
Randall is our winner with 8 correct answers. He gets to choose where the $1,000 donation goes. Randall, what's it going to be?
Let's give it to Warriors in Quiet Waters.
I don't think we've donated to them before. What do we like about Warriors in Quiet Waters?
I just know that we're doing a lot of stuff with them, and it's a good organization that has a lot of local connections here, and... Just trying to spread the wealth.
$1,000 going their way. That's right. I've seen Meat Eater has some events coming up where they're doing stuff with that
Cooking
same
some dinner.
Organization. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Athletic Brewing for helping us make one of our biggest donations ever. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.